Aha, you're not ready to go to bed yet. We've got more open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final hour of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Have you noticed that the price of gasoline seems to have gone down a little bit? Of course, it always goes up a little bit around Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend, but it's down, at least in the St. Louis area. It's down. Let's go to Melody Truck Driving in Ohio. Hello, Mel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. You've been on hold for almost an hour. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I'm glad I stayed on hold because I have something I want to tell you.
Okay.
It's just real quick. It's a personal experience. My brother Scott and I were 6 years apart growing up, but we were real close. His very best friend was our first cousin, Pete. And when Scott was 14 years old, he was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And so eventually he died in 1996 of that disease. And since we were so close, I truly thought I would die of a broken heart. I was devastated, but I didn't. Instead, I just started getting sick. And by August of 96, I was going back and forth to doctors and being treated, you know, different medications and whatever. But they didn't do what was necessary to actually stop my problem. So by February of 97, I was pretty bad shape. And I had a speaking engagement on the 26th of that month. And I went to the speaking engagement. And I'm sitting on a chair backstage waiting to be called up the podium. And I just started shaking. I literally felt like I was holding a live wire. And I started thinking, well, this is weird because I speak in front of crowds a lot, so I'm not nervous. Anyway, I was called up. I said my piece. I hung around for about an hour and a half, mingled with the crowd, answered questions, finally went home. Got home and sat down on the couch, started watching TV, and I just felt bad, you know. So I'm just sitting there, and finally decided to go to bed, turn the TV off, head downstairs. The TV came back on. So I turn around, I come back up, turn the TV off, start down the stairs again. A radio down the hall in my son's bedroom came on. So I was furious because he had school the next day. So I was pumping down the hall and I stroked the door. And there's my son sitting in the bed, just shocked as I was. You know, the radio's just blaring. So I unplug the radio. I calm him down. I go head back downstairs. Every light upstairs in my house came on. So at that point, I guess because I was so sick, none of this really made sense to me, but I just went over and I sat down on the couch and out loud, I said, fine, I'll just stay up all night. So I sat there all night watching TV. The next morning, my husband come upstairs, walking by me on his way to work. He stopped, looked at me, just get dressed. I'm taking you to the hospital. So we end up at the hospital and they end up giving me a transfusion because I had so little blood in my body. If I had been overweight and had extra fluid in my heart for my heart to pump, the doctor surmised I probably, if I'd fallen asleep, had cardiac arrest and died in my sleep. So it doesn't stop there. I thought it did. But just to finish this off, from that point on, weird little things started happening in my house, and I was totally convinced my brother's spirit was in my house. On June the 6th of 1997, I woke up in the middle of the night. My light was going on and off in my bedroom. So I get out of bed and I go over and I turn the switch off and it's already off. And the light comes back on and then it goes out. And I'm just standing there in the dark and right beside of me, this plain as day, is my brother's voice. And he called me by my childhood nickname, which no one had used since he died. And he says to me, Booth, today's my birthday. And I just stood there for a second, and I realized it was his birthday. And I said, you're right. Happy birthday, Scotty. I swear it felt like something left the room. That morning at 8:04, my cousin Pete and his wife had their first baby. It was a little girl, and I have never felt my brother's presence since.
He maybe moved in, and the reincarnation process, Mel, is underway. Great story. Jeff is in Simi Valley, California. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Hi, George. Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. Thank you.
I hope so. My heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry about your sister. Tell you my little story in a short follow-up, if I could. It's about a medical issue that happened to my mother near the end of 2006. She was about 70 years old. I never talk about this. My heart is really pounding right now. Anyhow, she had been in excellent health, but had been on Coumadin, a blood thinner, for a while. And her health was so good, Monday morning, her doctor took her off the Coumadin. On Tuesday, she started getting stomach aches. On Wednesday, her husband, she remarried after my dad passed away, took her to the hospital, and turned out that when they took her off the Coumadin, she developed a blood clot, which is kind of unusual. It's very unusual. But she happened to get it in her upper digestive tract, and she developed gangrene. Basically, everything inside of her, it just shut down and died. And within a few days, she had passed away. She had gone from Monday morning being in excellent health to by the end of the week, she had passed away.
Gone.
And it was a pretty devastating experience, especially considering that year 2006 had been kind of tough for me. And I was out of work, and I had just gotten a job. I had just gotten a job, a very good job. I was an engineer, self-educated engineer, very successful for years, but there was problems. And I had just gotten a good job, and she got sick, and other problems with my marriage and all. I ended up having a complete breakdown. By the end of the year, I was homeless, and still haven't gotten over it. It was just such an unusual situation to see someone. She was 70 years old. And like you said, such unusual circumstances, to be so healthy.
And just wither away like that. How long were you homeless?
7 months. Months.
Did you live on the streets?
I lived in my car with my two cats that I had left.
Wow.
And
an experience. I bet you could write a book on that one.
Maybe. It was tough because I had been very successful as an engineer. In fact, I had been in my last job and given the title guru of the department. And now I'm on
disability.
It was just, it was so devastating to have that happen so fast. My dad had passed away from cancer some years earlier. I lost my younger sister.
Boy, Jeff, you've been blasted, haven't you? Jeez.
Well, yeah, my younger sister and I were close, and her boyfriend, she wanted to break up with him, and he ended up taking her life, her cat, and then his own, and I identify the bodies. That was some years ago.
Does it get any worse? Jeez.
I don't know, but I still can't seem to get over it.
Well, you keep holding on, my friend. I know it's not it's not easy to do, believe me.
Well, I was fortunate enough to have met Danion Brinkley. I'd read his books.
Great guy.
I met him on a casual basis a couple of times. I got to talk to him, and that really helped a lot, his experiences with death.
Happened three times with him, Jeff. He's one of a kind, but keep plugging. It seems like you're holding on well. Let's go to Bob in Camarillo, California. Hey, Bob, take it away.
Hey, good to talk to you, George. I listened to that show last night from about 9/11.
Yeah.
And I started remembering you had a guest on, I don't know how many months ago, who wrote that book, Another 19, I think it was, about, was his name, Kevin Ryan?
Yes.
And I thought, the two of those shows actually went very well together because they both covered, the same event, but slightly different aspects of it. And I don't know if you ever plan on having him on your show again or
do any more. This is something that's not going to go away, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't know if you have any more follow-up on what's happened since he was on, or if anything new, or he's added anything onto his story. But it was a very long show, but he just obviously did his research for what, 10 years, I think?
Oh, yeah. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and, I mean, between the two of them, they actually would have been great to have both on at the same time. But, yeah, it just seems to be pointing more and more like, you know, it's almost beyond doubt now that this was not just, you know, as it appears, and the country's been hoodwinked once again. So.
Yeah, I think we'll probably do a roundtable discussion, and I'd be more than happy to welcome him back on. That's for sure. Let's go next to Mike in Lynchburg, Virginia. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. My condolences to you and your family.
Thank you, Mike.
And in 1976, I underwent surgery that was ill-planned at best. Basically, I'd had a strep throat infection. After that, the college doctor where I was going did some lab work to make sure the infection was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically found a microscopic trace of blood in my urine. So he sent me to a specialist who decided to do a renal biopsy. And in doing the biopsy, he severed the renal artery, killing my left kidney.
Oh.
Going on now to 2014, I have kidney disease in my right kidney.
Your only functioning kidney, right?
The only functioning kidney. I've had a kidney stone, which, thank God, I survived. But basically, I'm facing starting dialysis next month.
Oh, jeez. Is the other kidney that's not functioning still in your body?
No, they had to remove it.
Because it died, basically, right?
It basically died, yeah. And I did sue the doctor. And the case basically got thrown out of court.
Did they try to make a settlement offer first or anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They made sure my lawyer got paid. I got nothing. And I got a long lecture from the judge about suing such an honorable and professional doctor.
And you lose a kidney.
And I lose the kidney. Not only did I lose the kidney, it cost me my family. It cost me a job. And basically right now I get by on Social Security, $721 a month.
How can you live on $721 a month?
With a lot of help. It is not easy.
It's not easy.
I have a housemate, so he contributes toward the rent and other utilities.
Yeah. You know, how much do you have left after just paying house and utilities?
Last month, I ended the month with $15.
But you learn how to survive, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. You have a car?
No, sir.
You don't?
No.
Is it because you can't afford one? Okay.
Well, that plus also my other handicaps keep that from working out. I was born with cataracts on both eyes, recently had them removed, but my eye-hand coordination is such I couldn't pass the driving test.
How old are you?
Virginia.
How old are you, Mike?
I'm 57.
Oh, gosh, you're young.
Yeah.
You are young. Okay, well, look, it's a bad situation. You got burned, I think, on that one. Lawyers get paid, but you didn't. Not fair. Jeff is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
How you doing tonight?
Good, Jeff. Thank you.
Good. Yes, very sorry to hear about your sister.
Thanks.
George. Regarding the towers up there at 9/11, I don't know if you ever, three years ago, looked on YouTube, you could see the fires burning white hot. Now, that's indicative of thermite, which burns 1,000 degrees hotter than jet fuel.
Good point.
The builder of the towers said that those buildings were built to take multiple hits from large aircraft. Okay, they would not buckle. They were structurally sound. But anyway, regarding that, I wanted to say something about Molech as well, and Moses having called in and was talking to you about that and a couple other things. He's linked with Marduk, who was Nimrod. Nimrod means the rebellious one, he who rebelled against God. He was the founder and builder of ancient Babylon. And those two are linked. The creatures, the four faces that he was telling you about, the face of a man, of an eagle, a bull, and a lion,
yeah,
those are attributes God bestowed on man, which is love is the face of a man, wisdom or farsightedness is the eagle, the bull is power, and the lion is justice.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's what those symbolize.
All right, Jeff, thanks. You know what, Coast listeners, smartest ever of any show, of any show. Let's go to Sylvia in Chatsworth, California. Sylvia, hi. Are you with us? Nope, I guess not. Let's try Susie in Tucson, Arizona. Susie, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, my condolences on your sister.
Thank you, Susie.
I got to say, I love Wild Card Night on Fridays. I look forward to it.
yeah, me too.
It's interesting hearing all these...
It is.
My stories, gosh. And I sometimes I feel I'm so lucky when I hear some of those stories. But I have to tell you a couple of things. When my mother died a couple of years ago, I flew in from Arizona to Milwaukee, and we stayed with her while she was dying. And my sister stayed with her at the hospice the last night, and I stayed at the old farmhouse with my father, and I was woken up at 4 o'clock with little flutterings of lightning. No rain, no thunder. It was just all through the window, and it kept going on. And I thought, that is so weird, because it's the end of September, and it's not like heat lightning. And you don't really see that kind of weather in Wisconsin. You would see it in Arizona. But then right after that, we got a phone call within a couple of minutes that my mother passed on, and I think she was saying goodbye to us.
Yeah, I mean, it that's amazing.
Yeah, my uncle said he saw that too, and he said, wasn't it strange lightning? And I said, I think she was saying goodbye.
Yeah, it was her little energy. She was taking off, moving on.
Well, there was no rain, there was no thunder, it was just all around the window, a little fluttering of it. It wasn't like strong bolts of lightning or anything. It was just really strange. But I had two relatives come to me after they died within a couple of days, and the first one was my aunt when I was in my 20s, and I always felt bad because I never told my cousin about it, and until later, and then she said, why didn't you tell me? But
did she believe you?
Yeah, she did. She really did, because I see things once in a while that I have premonitions, or I have remote viewing of things that happen, so... But at the time, I was in my 20s, and I didn't want to tell anybody, so yeah. I didn't say anything. But my aunt came to me, and she had a lot of mental health problems, and it was my uncle's wife, and she had shock treatments in her 20s, and then she developed agoraphobia, and then she needed a heart valve replacement, but she was afraid to leave the house, so she died at home. But she came to me, and she told me that she was at peace. And she looks so beautiful.
Well, and you know, Susie, when they come to you like that too, it also gives you peace. And I think that's so important. I have not had that personal experience yet. I don't know how I'd handle it if that happened. We're going to come back with final open line calls. If you're on hold, just stay there. We'll get right to you. On our next Coast to Coast program, Lisa Garr will be behind the microphone as she talks about biogeometry, fascinating subject. And then I'll be on Sunday night with, of course, as we talk about emerging artists for the first couple hours. But Ed May joins us and Lloyd Auerbach joins us as we talk about ESP wars. So you don't want to miss that. And I'll be back in a moment with final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we are back with final calls, and let's not waste any time, so let's get right into them. We'll pick it up by going to Kevin in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Kev. Go ahead.
Good morning to you, George. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, Kevin. How about you?
Great. First-time caller, been listening for about 8 years. One of the reasons I love Friday so much is I love listening to when you play that buffer song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, yes, Brada is. He's no longer with us, but, man, what a great song.
Yeah, if I was a betting man, George, I'd bet your sister's sitting right on top of that rainbow, smiling down on you right now, my friend.
She sure is. She was one of a kind.
My story is 24 years ago, my wife decided she was going to have some breast implants. And picked a doctor out we thought was really reputable.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the anesthesiist gave her a little too much juice and stopped her heart on the table.
Oh, my God.
They fortunately, they were able to restart her heart and get it going again. And so everything turned out okay. And the good and the bads to that whole scenario was, of course, the good part is they got her going again, and we ended up not paying for the surgery.
Oh, really? They gave it to you, huh?
Oh, yeah. But the bad side of it was, George, she ended up getting a very large settlement out of it, and she decided she didn't need me around anymore.
Oh, no. She got the implants, the money, and off she went.
And off she went, buddy.
Oh, wow.
Well, on her merry way.
At least you didn't have to pay for them, Kevin.
No, that was good. And, George, that's all I got to say. And I was so glad to get on to you and get you my condolences. And you have a great weekend, my friend.
Okay, you too, Kevin. I'm glad you can laugh about that. That's important. Let's go to Kentucky. Jesse's with us now. Hey, Jess, go ahead.
Hi, George, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for taking my call, y'all. It's great to talk to you again.
I had you on hold so long, you almost fell asleep on me or something.
Oh, I did. It was so great to get through that. I've been trying to get through for so long, and I was so psyched that I actually, took my call. Thank you so much. Thank you for the show. Thank you, you and the whole Coast team for what you do. It's love it. This is where I get my news. It's awesome. First of all, you know, my condolences to your sister. I will keep you and your family in my prayers. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. First off, about this whole 9/11 conspiracy thing. It really kind of irritates me to hear people talk about, oh, the government was in on 9/11 and all this stuff. I really don't believe that there was any kind of conspiracy at all. If anything, I think the farthest that the government had anything to do with it was simply the Central Intelligence Agency withholding, you know, critical information from, you know, the White House and the President and the Department of Defense and everything. But I you know, honestly, there were probably several government officials who had friends and family in the World Trade Center. You know, why would they hurt their own people that way? And, you know, second of all, if the American people ever found out that, you know, that there was this, that the government was involved in any shape, form, or fashion, there would be a riot all over the country. It would go crazy. There would be no civil order. I mean, I just don't think that they would be that silly, to be honest with
you.
Well,
keep in mind that I don't think anybody in government had anything to do with it either. But think about a rogue group that has, you know, illicit
absolutely
money and power. That's conceivable. I'm not going to rule
absolutely
that out.
Absolutely. No, I totally believe that's plausible. And actually, several callers ago, a couple of people called in talking about how, you know, they had this theory that possibly the terrorists had infiltrated the World Trade Center pre-9/11 and, you know, could possibly have planted, you know, explosive devices and stuff like that. I believe that's absolutely plausible theory and definitely should be investigated further. Most definitely. My second comment that I just want to get off real quickly is, and which is part of why I love your show, is that you go into things like the supernatural and aliens and Bigfoot and stuff like that. And I'm a firm believer in the afterlife and also that people have a sixth sense that we can access, you know, if we really want to, if we really try and practice it. Mm-hmm. And I've personally had, you know, my own experiences with ghosts and just energies, residual energies, as well as active energies. And my sister-in-law actually has a quite active sixth sense. She was telling me just the other day that about when her grandmother passed away. She was actually in Florida when it happened, and she woke up that morning and she just had a very, very bad feeling and just kind of bad, like, was just feeling a very bad, negative, sad energy. And later on that day, she got the phone call that her grandmother had passed that morning.
Wow.
And it was nuts. And not only that, one night she had this dream where she saw a circle, and connected to the circle were these spokes that went outward, and connected to the spokes were pictures of her various family members. And there was one spoke that she couldn't make out. She couldn't see the face. Later on that day, she found out that her uncle had passed.
See, it's remarkable how that works, isn't it?
Yes, it's insane and beautiful and just, it's great. I love it. But that's all I got to say. I'm going to get off here because I know there's tons of people that want to get through and talk to you. Just thank you so much for taking my call and keep on doing what you do. We love your show and we totally support you 100%.
You got it, Jesse. That's happening in America all over the place. We go now to Steve out there in Los Angeles. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My condolences also.
Appreciate it, Steve.
I guess you've been hearing this a lot, but it must be heartfelt. My thing was medical horror stories, and basically this had to do with the back. I had a bunch of back surgeries myself, and I met this lady one time, and I was also gone to a demonstration about these. They look kind of like a quarter, and they're designed to go in between the vertebrae and to push the vertebrae up so that the disc is not being pressed upon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. They had the head.
Yeah. And I went up to over to where this guy was giving a demonstration and said, this sounds great. And you have to be the proper candidate. You can't have had prior surgeries, so I couldn't do it. But later on, I talked to, just happenstantially, I talked to a lady I just met at the grocery store. She said that we got around to back problems. I could tell she was a back problem person, too. And she said she had a gun, and that it almost killed her. And I was really interested to find out why. And she said, well, when they attach it, they have to attach it to the bone. And they use these sort of like triangular shards that go sort of around this disc.
And so stick it into the bone, right?
They stick it in the bone. But what happens, and it happens at a relatively high rate, and people, you know, are desperate, if you've ever had a bad back, to get relief, is that if you get into a car accident or a fall or a million different types of different things, that thing gets dislodged.
Oh.
And it's like a Frisbee with these titanium sharp edges swirling around inside, wherever they've been placed in your body,
wherever it ends up. Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So she had hers was in the back, lower back is a pretty prominent place, And she said that it took 9 hours for them to get it out. They had to cut her open and go in from the stomach. And it was a 9-hour surgery. And, of course, there was massive bleeding all over the place. And then I asked her, is this uncommon? And she gave me some statistics, and I don't know if they're accurate or not, but she says that, this dislodgement can be as high as 30%, and the death rate can be as high as 10%. Now, they may have improved on it or not, but...
Maybe you lucked out. Are they still doing this procedure?
You know, I don't know, but I heard a guy on the radio just the other day, and he was talking about getting this thing done. It sounded like the same thing up in his upper neck. And my first thought was, well, what kind of arteries and veins are running around up there? Because I'm thinking, because he said the doctor said, be careful, don't do any exercise, don't fool around the kids, because you can have complications. And I don't know whether or not the people realize what these complications are. I mean, it's some of them, if it's the same thing, it's death.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hey, Steve, thanks. My daughter had a cadaver bone put in her neck. Scared the heck out of us, but she seems to be doing okay. That's been about 5 years now. Scary, though. Really is. Let's go to Johan in Switzerland. Hello there, Johan.
Hello, George. Thanks for letting me on for a moment. Say, sure. I was aware of a rumor that the gold in the bottom of the World Trade Center in the vault was never recovered. In other words, it wasn't in the vault at the bottom of the Trade Center after they, took all the rubble out of there. And so if anybody thinks that it wasn't an inside job, how exactly would the terrorists have gotten the gold out before they ran their planes into the building? And finally, I want to express my condolences. My sister died 2 years ago of brain cancer. So
sorry to hear that.
How you're feeling.
You know
Thank
what
you
we
for
went
letting
through.
Me on.
Okay, you are you're very welcome. It is an incredible affliction once it starts, and it just races through your body that way. And you always wonder, you know, why her, not somebody else. Let's go to, we got time. Jerry in Lincoln, Illinois. Jerry, got about a minute. That's all, but go for it.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to remind everybody that the day before 9/11, whenever Rumsfeld came out on TV and announced that there was $2.3 trillion missing from the Federal Reserve, It was just kind of curious that all hell broke loose the next day. So
everything
that's all I wanted to share, man, and condolences to you. Sorry about your sister, man. Lots of bad health care out there.
There sure is. I think in this case they did as well as they could under the circumstances. I mean, they had given her 6 months. She went 2 years, and she wanted one thing, and that was to attend her daughter's wedding, which we did about a year ago, and she did it. She made that happen. She walked down. It was an outside ceremony, but she walked down the aisle, and she just made it happen. It was a pretty wonderful thing. It really was. Look, we're coming up to the end. Lisa Gar, she's hosting our Saturday show this weekend. I'll be on Sunday, first Sunday of the month. I'll be here. And then we've got a great week of shows for you as well here on Coast to Coast AM. Make it a little note to always go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Do it every day. And take a look at the guests, the stories that our webmasters post, and all the other great information. It's a marvelous website, and they do a fantastic job. And also, we're going to redesign it in the not-too-coming future dates. So that's going to happen as well. Here's our buddy, UFO Phil.
I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening.
For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.